unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, people who are mute talk with their hands. God has not given them a voice with which to talk as most of us do. The only way they can communicate is with their hands. Now, all of us use our hands to express ourselves sometimes, and some of us more than others. Certain motions of the hands are understood by people throughout the whole world. Everywhere throughout the world, people clap their hands to show their appreciation, or they are clapping in order to give attention to what somebody has done or accomplished. One symbol of the hand indicates come, and another symbol indicates go. And then there's the raised finger as a symbol, please pay attention. And there's a pointing finger that accuses people of what they have done, which is wrong. There's a clenched fist to show power or even threatening somebody. There's the open hand as a symbol of giving, and that open hand as a symbol of receiving. On this Thanksgiving Day, we turn our attention, as the psalmist says, to God's open hand. Our text is recorded in Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. There have always been people throughout the whole world who have recognized the blessings that come from God, and they lift up their heart and voice to thank God for all of his blessings. And then there are people who, as we heard from the Old Testament reading, who forget God and who forget all of the blessings. Just as parents often need to remind their children when they get a gift, what do you say? So we have to be reminded many times not to forget to give our thanks to God for the many blessings that he showers upon us for both body and soul. The Pilgrim Fathers gathered together to celebrate the first Thanksgiving Day in 1621. They gave thanks to God for the many blessings that he showered upon them in what they called the New World. When Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made the first Thanksgiving proclamation in 1623, 3 years after the Pilgrims landed in Plymouth, he asked the Pilgrims to gather together with their wives and all of their little ones in the meeting house, as it was called, between the hours of 9 a.m. and noon on Thursday, November the 29th. And he told them, you listen to what the pastor has to say when he reminds you that you give all thanks to God for all of the blessings that you receive. In 1789, President George Washington made a Thanksgiving Day proclamation in which he said the following: it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And then he went on to say, both houses of Congress have requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many favors of Almighty God. And in closing, he added the words that the people were to recognize God as the author of all the good that was, all that is, and all that ever shall be. Now, we must honestly ask, would it be possible today to get both houses of Congress to pass such a resolution unanimously and have a resolution without any amendments or any objections or any other even filibusters? Yes, many have forgotten to give thanks to God for all of his blessings. God's open hand is a symbol of all of our dependence upon him. All living creatures are portrayed by the psalmist as raising their heads and stretching out their necks to look to the Lord to pour out from his open hand blessings. All creatures are pictured that way, even the birds and the other animals. As the Apostle James writes, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights. What the psalmist said over 3,000 years ago was expressed by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when he said to the multitude gathered before him, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. The bottom line of what the Savior said is this: every day has enough troubles and problems of its own. Don't add to it by worrying. In contacts with and visiting with many people over the years, and especially unchurched people, I often had to deal with people who said, I really don't see any need for God. Such people are biting the hand that feeds them every day. People who think that they can get along without God are in a hopeless situation. Some years ago, a retired pastor whom I knew very well was spending some days in the Madison General Hospital where his wife was a patient. And one day, as he was sitting in the lounge visiting with various patients, he heard a man across the room cursing loudly the hospital, the doctors, the nurses, and everybody else who worked there. The pastor got up and crossed the room and approached the man and said, my dear man, you should be praying instead of cursing. You should turn your eyes to God and look to him in your sickness instead of tempting all of this in this room to forget God, and instead of cursing and heaping curses upon God and all of these good people. The man replied, God, what good did he ever do? And then he continued to curse the God whom, of course, he did not know. However, the pastor wasn't intimidated, and he wasn't put to silence by what that man said. He simply continued to witness to the man about the one true God until the man finally said, "God, bah!" And he got up and walked away. A few days later, hurriedly a nurse came into the lounge looking for the pastor and said, "There's a man down the hall in the room and he's dying. Come quickly." The pastor went to the room and there he saw that man who had cursed God. He was in an unconscious or subconscious state, and the pastor stood next to the bed. He talked to him about the one true God. He talked to him about sin and the Savior Jesus. And then suddenly that man, who a few days earlier had cursed God and said, "What good can God ever do?" died. Whether the pastor's words ever reached and touched the heart of the man who cursed God will only be known in eternity. Many forget God for all of the blessings that come from his open hand. We remember the parable of the Lord Jesus. The Savior said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" What good did God ever do? Say with the psalmist, "Lord, our eyes are on you, and we look to you, who opens your hands and pours out countless blessings for which we express our heartfelt thanks." Yes, the Lord would teach us when we think we're all set for eternity, and we should really have an early retirement too, that we recognize all of the blessings that come to us for body and soul come from that open hand of our gracious God. Our eyes are on the Lord's open hand, where from which he blesses us for both body and soul. He opens his hand to bless us for time with all of the things that we need. Maybe not all of the things that we desire. And thank God that he knows better than we do what we really need, not only what we desire. God blesses all people, even the ungodly. Very clearly, this Lord Jesus said, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he makes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good. When it rains, it just doesn't rain on the lawn of the Christians. It rains also on the lawns of even those whom you might consider ungodly neighbors. And the sun doesn't just shine on your little lot. It shines also on the lots of the ungodly. Oh, it's true. The Lord doesn't want us just to sit around and wait for everything to come our way. We look for the Lord's open hand through which he blesses us on God's way of making a living, by working. He expects us to work. And Adam and Eve were expected to work in the Garden of Eden before they ever sinned. Looking to the Lord for all of his blessings is another way of saying that we should pray to him. And when we're talking about Jesus' bodily blessings for this life, we should learn to pray as the writer of the book of Proverbs prayed. Two things I request of you. Deny me them not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is convenient for me and allotted for me, lest I be full and deny that you are the Almighty God, or lest I be poor and then I'm tempted to steal in order to live on. It's saying to God, Lord, give me only what I can handle. Not too much, not too little. And everybody is not the same and can handle the same amount in the same way. Some can handle more and some can handle less. However, now we lift up our eyes and look to the Lord for the greatest of all blessings, the spiritual blessings, the assurance that God has had mercy on us poor sinners, that God has seen us sinners, and he comes to us with a message of forgiveness. What joy is ours to know that we are forgiven. Our sins are all washed away. In spirit, we go to Calvary, where the open hands of Jesus were nailed to a cross, and yet they were extended as if they were inviting for others and one and all to come and be blessed by him. From Calvary's cross comes the calling, the invitation, the pleading to come to the Lord Jesus and to hear that glorious message, your sins are all forgiven. When we look to the Lord, whose hand is open and it's extended to touch and open our hearts, then we will realize how greatly God has blessed us. The hand is moving us to give thanks to God. You and I are his hands on earth. That's one way of showing our thankfulness. His open hand moves us to open our hands, to give to those who have a need, to feed the hungry, to help the sick and the suffering, to clothe the naked, and to be merciful toward other people. Through us, God brings also the message of Jesus, our Savior, to other people who do not yet know that Jesus is our Savior. Yes, he is our Redeemer, who extends his hands, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he gives you heaven's highest promise, I will give you rest. Through his blessing, we are moved to give thankfulness. The story that is rather impressing is about what happened during World War II. Many towns and cities of Europe were totally destroyed, and the story is told of one small town where the big, beautiful church was bombed and blown into pieces. And as the people returned there after the war to clean up and gather a few things that might be found, they noticed that the altar in the church had been thrown to the ground and the statue of Jesus was also thrown to the ground. And it was in good shape, except it had no hands. And one of the workers said to the others, we may as well carry this away too. It's of no use. It has no hands. And as they were carrying it away, the pastor happened to come, and he says, wait a minute, what are you doing? Well, Jesus has no hands, so that's useless, and we're just going to carry it to the dump like everything else. And he said, don't do that. You and I, as children of God, are the hands of Jesus. Through us, he blesses others. Through us, he brings others to see him as the almighty, gracious God who provides all our blessings. And through us, he brings people to faith in him as our Lord and Savior. His hands on earth. What a way of saying and showing our thankfulness to God. There's always something for which to be thankful, even though some may not think so. A pastor by the name of Alexander White of Edinburgh, Scotland, was a famous preacher who was remembered by his people for all of his pulpit prayers. And every Sunday as he mounted the pulpit, he prayed to give thanks to God. And he prayed about thanking God to such an extent that it actually aggravated some of the members. One cold, blustery, horrible winter morning, one of the members said, Pastor isn't going to have anything to give thanks to God today. The service began, and Pastor White entered the pulpit, and he began by saying, O God, we give thanks to you that it's not always like this. Yes, there's always something for which to thank God, even in bad and difficult days. It's been said that many people have a problem with thanking because they do so little thinking. Think and thank. Think of all of the blessings you have in your life and all of the blessings that God has poured out upon you for body and then above all for soul. He has called you out of spiritual darkness into the marvelous, glorious light of the gospel. And he directs you to the hands of Jesus, extended on Calvary's cross, with this full assurance, all your sins are forgiven. That's enough to move us to say with the psalmist, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. And the peace of God grant you his assurance of his many blessings for both body and soul.